Morning, church. I was here on Tuesday morning doing some work when I got to the office, and my cell phone rang, and it was from Afghanistan. And at first I thought Afghanistan, and then it dawned on me it's probably Chris Burton. This was calling basically to say thank you. He mentioned the money that you had raised for him last Sunday, and he asked me to specifically this morning thank you all for that money, the $1,500, as Kent mentioned this morning, that you graciously raised for Chris, and he wanted me to say that. So thank you from Chris. And I told him we are praying for him, that we love him. He's in our thoughts, as all of our servicemen and women are in our thoughts at this time. We know that's a very serious situation. We are so thankful for people like Chris and others who have given their lives in service to this nation and allowed us to have these kind of freedoms like we have this morning, to be able to worship our God and sing praises freely to Him, and without really being too concerned right now about what's going to happen to us. My intention this morning was to speak about holiness. You want a difficult topic to try to wrestle with? Talk about God's holiness. And so this is actually a preview to next week. Little commercial break here for next week and what's coming. My intention was to talk about that. But I was reading through a story that really just grabbed a hold of my attention, and I couldn't get away from it. And I actually wish, as I was working with it this week, I wish I had more time than just this week. I know that sounds strange, but it's just a story with so much truth in it for us that we can learn from. I titled the lesson, Until He Was Strong. Until He Was Strong. And I want to ask you a question. I've asked myself this question as well. Have you ever had a time in your life in which you felt strong? Of course, I don't mean physical strength necessarily. I don't mean, you know, you're a strong young. Maybe that's part of it. Maybe that time of your life you did feel strong. But have you ever felt strong? Have you ever felt a sense of confidence? A sense of self-assuredness? Somebody says, well, that lady, she's with it. He's got it all together. You feel strong. You really don't feel like you need anything for that matter because your life is good. A sense maybe of power, a sense of fame. Maybe you've had a sense of fortune. Think back to those moments. Because I want you to magnify that sense that you've had of confidence, that sense of strength in your life, and magnify that by many times. And we begin to get a little tiny glimpse of the background of the story that we're going to look at this morning. This is long before our time. Matter of fact, I want you to go back to 2 Chronicles. I haven't spent lately much time in the Old Testament, but this is just a tremendous story. Chapter 26. I'm sure there's some that are very familiar with the story. Story about King Uzziah. Very, very interesting to me as I was working through this. I'm going to spend more time through the next coming few weeks. I'm going to think about this some more because it was an amazing story. Uzziah was the 10th king of Judah. He reigned. He took his father's throne after he was assassinated in 2 Kings. You can read that chapter 14. But what really caught my attention partly was the age of Uzziah. Uzziah was 16 years old when he took the throne. Keep that in mind as we read. Let's read starting in verse 1. All the people of Judah took Uzziah, who was 16 years old, made him king in the place of his father Amaziah. He built Eloth and restored it to Judah after the king slept with his fathers. Uzziah was 16 years old when he became king, and he reigned 52 years. That's a long time.
52 years in Jerusalem, and his mother's name was Jechaliah, giving honor to his mother. Must have been a godly woman. His mother was Jechaliah of Jerusalem. Now let me go back for a moment, Uzziah. Maybe your translation says Azariah. Same person. What's really interesting is when you read the meaning of his name, which means God is my strength. The other one is God has helped me. Same thing, God is my strength, God is with me, God is my help. That's the 16-year-old King Uzziah. Now, I don't know about you, but I thought when I started reading this, God help the nation that takes a 16-year-old and makes him king, right? And that's no offense to you guys that are 16. You know I love you guys. I was 16 too. You were 16 too. We don't see very many 16-year-olds in that position of power and authority and decision-making. But you see this king, and guess what? God did just that. As the story unravels and unfolds, God helps him. God is his strength. It's a beautiful, beautiful story in the beginning. But we're going to get to the end in a moment. Notice verse 4. Just soak this in. Think about this for a minute. And he did right in the sight of the Lord, according to all his father Amaziah had done. Probably parental upbringing, probably a good example. Probably followed God's example that in teaching that he gave to Israel. Train your children when they lie down, when they rise up, when they walk by the way, as we've looked several weeks ago. I'm sure his father had done that. A good influence. So he did right according to his father, all that he had done. And verse 5, he continued to seek God in the days of Zechariah, who had understanding through the vision of God. And as long as he sought the Lord, he prospered. God prospered him. Notice. As long as he sought God, God was his help, right? He does right. He continues to seek. We understand seeking, don't we? Jesus even emphasized this in Matthew 6. Those passages that have dealt with worry and the concerns of the world, and Jesus says what? We sing the song. Seek first the kingdom. Seek the ways of God first. And his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. The things you need, God supplies. You do right and you continue to seek, God prospers. God prospered this 16-year-old king. He was his strength. Notice when it comes to his success. Notice when it comes to his power. He had power and fame. He had military support. He has strength. He has productive land. He has animals. He has everything. He doesn't really need anything. Notice, we're going to read this. Let's read a few verses. Verse 6. And Uzziah went out. He went out and warred against the Philistines, broke down the wall of Gath, the wall of Jebna, the wall of Ashdod. And he built cities in the area of Ashdod and among the Philistines. Philistines were a great people, mighty people. You remember David and Goliath. Verse 7, and God helped him against the Philistines. There he is. God helped him against the Arabians, who lived in Gur Baal, and the Munites. I believe that's how you pronounce it. The Ammonites also gave tribute to Uzziah, and his fame, notice, his fame, his name, his power, extended to the border of Egypt, for he became very strong. Moreover, Uzziah built towers in Jerusalem, at the corner gate, at the valley gate, at the corner buttress, and fortified them. And he built towers in the wilderness, hewed many cisterns, wells, for he had much livestock. Both in the lowland and in the plain, he also had plowmen, vine dressers in the hill country, the fertile fields, for he loved the soil. He's a neat guy, isn't he? Powerful man. Prosperous man. Moreover, Uzziah had an army ready for battle. You need that for security, don't you? As a king. He had an army ready for battle, which entered combat by divisions, according to the number of their muster, prepared by Jeiel, the scribe of Messiah, the official. under the direction of Hananiah, one of the king's officers. The total number of the heads of the household of valiant warriors was 2,600. Those were the heads. And under their direction was an elite army of 300, a powerful army, 307,500, who could wage war with great power to help the king against the enemy. God is his help. God is his strength. Moreover, Uzziah prepared for all the armies. He took care of them. Shields, spears, helmets, body armor, bows, sling stones. And in Jerusalem, he made engines of war, invented by skillful men, to be on the towers and on the corners of for the purpose of shooting arrows. That's what they were. They were like mounds, I guess, where they sat high, and they were able to look down on the enemy, and they were able to shoot their arrows, and large stones. I don't think they were just throwing stones. Large stones. It actually says great stones. Now, let me pause for a minute and talk before we move on briefly about engines of war, because that's an interesting thing as I was reading on in my studies. Listen to what Clark's commentary said about engines of war. This is just going to verify God helping, God's strength. This is the very first intimation on record of any warlike engines for the attack or defense of besieged places. And this account is long prior to anything of the kind among either the Greeks or Romans. Previously to such inventions, the besieged could only be starved out, and hence sieges were very long and tedious. Sardanapalus maintained himself in Nineveh for 7 years because the besiegers had no engines proper for the attack and destruction of walls. And it is well known that Troy sustained a siege of 10 years. The Greeks, not possessing any machines of the kind, the Jews alone were in inventors of such machines or engines. And the invention took place in the reign of Uzziah. This is unique to this time, to this text, to this moment. About 800 years before the Christian era, it is no wonder that in consequence of this, his name spread far and struck terror into his enemies. You get a feel here? God is in the life of Uzziah. Powerful, powerful man. But notice, let's keep reading in verse 15. Hence his fame spread afar. I love this verse. I underlined it, thought about it. His fame spread far, for he was marvelously helped until he was strong. Until he was strong. You remember my question? Have you ever felt strong? We're going to go into this in a minute. Strength isn't bad, is it? The Bible talks about strength. Didn't Paul in Ephesians 6, in that great passage of Scripture, say, finally, brethren, be strong in what? In the Lord, right? And in the strength of His might. Now, I believe early on, and I believe what we're going to find as we finish up this story, that what happens here happens at the latter part of Uzziah's life. He was a good king for a long time with a lot of power and a lot of strength. But something happened inside of him. We don't know where. That's in the recesses of the human being, of the heart, that things can take place. He had misplaced his trust and went from trusting God to trusting other things. He misplaced his trust from trusting God from 16 years old on, to we don't know how long exactly, to trusting in his own power, in his own might, in his own fame, and his own self-assuredness. I think he was strong, but I think eventually he thought it was his own strength. Here's what happens, notice, when you misplace your trust, verse 16. But when he became strong, his heart was so proud that he acted corruptly. And he was unfaithful to the Lord his God. For he entered the temple of the Lord. Now this is more of their culture and time. That would make more sense here. He enters the temple of the Lord to burn incense on the altar. No big deal. He's the king. He can do what he wants, right? Nope. You can't go against God's law. Even if you are a king. Verse 17, then Azariah the priest entered after him, and with him 80 priests of the Lord, valiant men, and they opposed Uzziah the king, and said to him, it is not for you, Uzziah, to burn incense to the Lord, but for the priests, the sons of Aaron. What's happening here? Remember, that was God's law. Only the sons of Aaron could do that. He has taken the place of the high priest. I think it goes beyond that. I think he's taken the place of God. He's putting himself in a position he doesn't belong. Only God belongs there. He said, the sons of Aaron who are consecrated to burn incense, get out of the sanctuary, Uzziah, for you have been unfaithful and will have no honor from the Lord God. But Uzziah, with a censer in his hand for burning incense, was enraged. See what pride does? Now he becomes enraged. Anger, wrath. And while he was enraged with the priest, the leprosy broke out on his forehead before the priests in the house of the Lord beside the altar of incense. We're almost through here. And Azariah, the chief priest, and all the priests looked at him. Behold, he was leprous on his forehead. They hurried him out there, and he himself also hastened to get out because the Lord had smitten him. Struck him. And King Uzziah was a leper to the day of his death. How sad. Sad words. Sorrowful. And he lived in a separate house, being a leper, for he was cut off from the house of the Lord, and Jotham, his son, was over the king's house, judging the people around. Now his son takes the throne. Sin separates, doesn't it? Separated Uzziah from what? Domestic, from civil life, from religious life, from all life. Notice the end of pride. This really spoke to my heart. I'll conclude with 3 points. Boy, and there's a lot more than that. About misplaced trust. Or confidence, or strength, which word you want there, go ahead and put it there. It will only lead to dishonor. Eventually, misplaced trust leads to dishonor. Doesn't it? You know, when it comes to pride, it's been said pride is the only disease that makes everyone else sick, but the one who has it, not the case for Uzziah, right? It's a dangerous, deceptive thing. John talks about it. 1 John 2:16 and following. The pride of life, it always goes before the fall. Scripture reveals that. And how about James 4:6? What does James say about it? About pride. That God is opposed to the proud. How well can you and I do if we live a life of pride? How well can you live with God opposed to you? To me. Not very well. And when we look at Matthew chapter 5 and verse 3, the very Beatitudes, I've called it climbing God's mountain to get to the top. What's the very first thing he says? Blessed are the poor in spirit. Blessed are the poor in spirit. That's the humble. Misplaced trust, confident, strength in ourselves will only lead to dishonor. Remember 2 Corinthians 12? Paul the Apostle, I believe he has that vision of going up to the third heaven, paradise. Remember he heard the inexpressible things? He said the man, whether he was in the body, I don't know, but he heard inexpressible things, not permitted to speak. And then he said to keep me from boasting, to keep me from pride, confidence in myself and what I know. A thorn in the flesh was given to me. A messenger of Satan to remind me. You remember Paul prays 3 times and he begs and begs and begs, please remove it. And Jesus says those wonderful words, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. and weakness. Think back to Uzziah when he was strong. 16 years old as a king, you think there was any weakness? I believe so. That's why Paul later on says, look, I will rather boast about my infirmities, not his physical weakness per se. He knows he utterly depends on God. He knows that nothing matters but God. He is dependent on him 100%. I want you to go real quick to Romans 12. Romans chapter 12. Hold your place in 2 Chronicles. If you're ever wondering where you can fit in the body, go to Romans 12 and there's always work to do. Dealing with our character, being with who we are. Misplaced trust leads to dishonor. Confidence in ourselves. Verse 3, for through the grace given to me, Paul said, I say to every man among you not to think more highly of himself than he ought to think, but think so as to have sound judgment as God has allotted each a measure of faith. Don't think more highly, he says, of yourself. Look at chapter 12 and verse 16. Be of the same mind toward one another. Don't be haughty in mind, but associate with the lowly and do not be wise in your own estimation. Now go back to Proverbs, because Solomon has something to say about this pride. Is there anything you can think of that God hates? That is an abomination to God, that he detests? Chapter 6 of Proverbs, verse 16. There are 6 things which the Lord hates, yes, 7 which are an abomination to him. And notice the first one mentioned. Haughty eyes, a lying tongue, hands that shed innocent blood, heart that devises wicked plans, feet that run rapidly to evil, and a false witness who utters lies, one who spreads strife among brothers. But haughty eyes is the emphasis. Okay, go to chapter 11, Proverbs 11. Verse 2, when pride comes, then comes dishonor. There it is. When pride comes, then comes dishonor, but with a humble is wisdom. Okay, go to chapter 16. Oh, this has Uzziah's name written all over it. Verse 18, chapter 16, pride goes before destruction. Our own strength. A haughty spirit before stumbling. Now, how about chapter 29? Verse 23. That a man's pride will bring him low, but a humble spirit will obtain honor. And one more verse on this topic. 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians chapter 3. I know we're flipping around, but that's good. Get familiar with that Bible. 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 4 and 5. And I know in the context is about being a minister or servant under the new covenant. Paul says in verse 4, and such confidence we have through Christ toward God. That's our confidence. Not verse 5, that we are adequate in ourselves to consider anything as coming from ourselves. But our adequacy is from God. Misplaced trust, confidence, our own strength, pride, going to lead to dishonor. Secondly, success. I'm going to talk about that for a moment. Success, our own strength, calls for extreme self-examination. Church, we are a people that need to examine ourselves. I need to examine myself closely. Remember what Paul said, therefore, he who thinks he stands, take heed lest what? lest he fall. Who is it that has the great fall? It tends to be those that trust in their own ways, that have their own strength, that are, if your key word is self-reliant, examine yourself. Examine yourself. 2 Corinthians 13:5, Paul said, examine yourselves to see if you're in the faith. Don't take it lightly. Are you in the faith? Do you know you're in the faith? Examine. Examine yourself before God. He already knows who you are and where you're at. Self-sufficiency of heart doesn't tend to seek God. Look at Isaiah. Thirdly, when it comes to success or our own strength, it calls, and this sounds so simple, but how well are we doing? It calls for earnest prayer for humility. Earnest prayer for humility. When was the last time you asked God for humility? Micah chapter 6, 8, the minor prophet said, he has told you, O man, what is good. And Micah simplifies it so well. He said, to do justice, to love kindness, and to walk humbly with your God. Humility. Because that is what God exalts. But pride, learn from Uzziah. Learn from Nebuchadnezzar and Daniel and others. Someone said we have to get on our knees more and get off the throne, because only one belongs on the throne. That's God Himself. Weeks ago, I had an interesting thing on Facebook. Somebody at Bear Valley, a member, and I don't know them, they put this message out. Obviously, they were struggling. And the message was about prayer, and it just said, God, basically, help me when I'm weak. And that's true. We pray that, don't we? That's important. But we know there's another way to look at that as well. And I was looking at it from a different perspective. And I just hit a quick respond back to that. I said, God, help us when things are good. God, help me when I'm strong. Help me when I'm self-sufficient. When I don't think I need you or you or you or anybody else for that matter. Because I'm strong, I'm confident. That's when you and I need help. And that speaks to America, doesn't it? That speaks to how we were raised. It speaks to my life. What an amazing story. And unfortunately, for time's sake, we need to stop. But there's so much to learn here. Do right. Continue to seek God. And in God's ways, He prospers you. He prospers me. We always extend the invitation, and if you have the desire to come to Jesus, to put yourself under the strength of God and rely on Him, to come by faith, maybe you're ready to put Him on in baptism, clothe yourselves with Christ. Maybe you need prayers of the congregation. We have elders here that will pray for you. I will pray for you. Members will pray for you. We want to be a praying people. We want to help you. If you have that desire, will you come as we stand and as we sing?